And so our text for this morning comes from Psalm 13. Psalm 13. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. So Psalm 13, y'all. Psalm 13. I'll read it in its entirety. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It reads as thus. O Lord, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. I want to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, the familiar song called How Long? The familiar song called How Long? A few weeks ago, I had to get in contact with my medical insurance provider that there was an administrative issue that I needed to take care of. And anybody with medical insurance, be glad that you got it. You don't want it to lapse. And so I have to handle business. And so I get on the phone and I call the medical insurance provider, and this first customer service representative that I said the first. And so I am not a fan of being on phones and getting customer service reps on the other end. So if you're customer service, God bless you. I don't mean you any harm. I don't mean to speak against you. But I just don't have a whole lot of good experience with customer service representatives when I get on the telephone. And so I get on the phone, and I have this issue, y'all, that I really need to get resolved. And being the impatient person that I am, I go in. They say, hold up. Wait a minute. First of all, I need to ask you some questions. Now y'all need to follow me on this. Now, I have this critical question, this issue I want resolved. And this, well, you got to hold up. Let me ask my 7 to 8, 10 questions to you first. What's your name? What's your address? What's your date of birth? How many dogs do you? No. but y'all feel me though? You got some issue you trying to resolve. You just want to talk to them, but they got to ask you all of these questions first. And so we get through all of these questions, and finally this customer service representative says, "Now, sir, how might I help you?" Y'all, I laid it on. I told me what my issue was. I got to get this thing resolved. Y'all ain't sure my papers in the system. I can't let this lapse on me. I need my medical insurance, y'all. And the lady said, okay, let me transfer you to someone that can help you with that. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And so quickly she puts me on hold, y'all. And Kenny Perry, 10 minutes later, I'm still on hold. But y'all, there's just music playing in the background. 20 minutes passed. I'm still on hold, and I'm still getting this music playing in the background. 30 minutes have passed. 40 minutes have passed, and all I'm getting is the music in the background. Y'all, it's right about then I begin to ask that familiar question, y'all. How long will I be on hold waiting to get my issue resolved? How long will this actually take me? When will this person show up? So I got this imagination, y'all. It's a crazy imagination. I'm thinking they probably sit in the background laughing at me. They sit me sipping on Starbucks and like, should I answer this guy's call? Should I hit the button? I just think like that. So I'm getting mad. I'm hot as fish grease. I'm upset. I'm frustrated because I don't know how long it's going to be before this person answers my phone call and helps me with my issue. That how long is a familiar question, isn't it? How long and how many times do we ask ourselves the same question? How many of you stood at the back of a a line in a retail store trying to get to the front to pay for your stuff, and you are, how long will I be in this line? Have you ever showed up for the doctor's appointments 15 minutes early with the idea that they're going to be able to see you early and you can get out, and you're still sitting there flipping through magazines and wondering, how long before I'm going to be able to see this doctor? Have you dealt with the pain of a bad relationship and you're waiting for it to get good and you're asking yourself, how long before I can turn the page on this and things get better? That maybe you've got a bad doctor's report and you're going through process. And maybe you've asked yourself, how long do I have to deal with this pain? How long do I have to go through this process? Maybe you're just dealing with some issue in your life right now. And the major question you're asking yourself right now is, how long? Well, wouldn't it be good if we knew how long it would be? There are some things in my life that I can endure better if I just knew how long it would take before I could get an answer to my problem. But the problem is, I don't know how long. We don't know. We don't know how long. So what do you do when your wait is so long that it's too long? And it causes weight and pain and struggle in your life. But a more pointed question, what do you do when it seems like God has you on hold? Psalm 13 is the Psalm of David. The word psalm in the Hebrew is mitzmor. It means to pluck, as to pluck fruit from a tree. It also connotes the plucking of a stringed instrument, thus the Psalms. That we use really the Greek word when we talk about the Psalms, we refer to that because in the Greek it's a word, psalmos, and it's a song that's sung to music. It's a sacred song of worship to God. That a psalm is a song to God where we pour out our feelings and our emotions to God about situations that we are dealing with. A psalm is where we express worship and praise to God. And it's where we find ourselves today in the book of Psalms, Psalm 13. That Psalm 13 is a psalm or a song of transition. It's a whole lot like life. That this psalm begins on a low, but it ends on a high. That it makes a shift. It makes a change. It makes a transition. Isn't that the way life is? That life is filled with sweet transitions. That it's filled with changes. That we have to deal with the ups and the downs, the mountains and the valleys of life, that life can change quick, fast, and in a hurry. It's a psalm of transition. And when we look at this psalm, David starts with discouragement, that he's down and he's in despair and he's out, he's disillusioned, but it ends with joy and encouragement and trust in God. And I believe that's where God wants us to be today. Like David, we can turn our songs of discouragement into tunes of encouragement. Even if you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Again, it's a familiar song. It's a familiar psalm. It's a place that we all know something about. There's times in my life, can I be honest with you, that I'd rather sing the blues. I'd rather live in what I call the mully grubs. I'd rather have my own pity party, but I believe God would never want us to stay there. That God would have us to shift and to transition and to change and to focus on Him. Your circumstances may be bad right now, but can I encourage your heart today? Can I let you know God wants to change you to change your question from how long to who? And that who is Him, that God wants you to focus on Him. If your circumstances don't change, continue to focus on God. Continue to focus on His Word. That God is the resolve to any questions we might have. And so how can these six short verses with three significant levels or attitudes or altitudes or changes, how can they help us today with our how longs in life? And help us to change to a personal exhortation and a trust in God Almighty. So to begin with, real quickly, to begin with, David starts his song in the tune of honest discontent. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. How long? How many times do we see that? How long? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you look the other? How long will I struggle? How long will my enemy be against me? How long, oh God? Four times, two short verses, in rapid tempo, we see this refrain, how long? Now, have you ever asked the question, how long, God, will you forget about me? How long will I have to deal with the anguish in my soul and in my heart? How long will you turn your head the other way, oh God, as if you're not even listening to me or looking at me? How long will I have to wait until what I've expected and wanted? How long before it comes to pass? How long will my heart be ripped out, oh God, and I sit here in pain, oh God? How long? How long will my enemy have home court advantage over me? Have you ever felt like you want a long distance call to heaven only to feel like nobody's on the other end but you? And you hear that, the familiar sound, that doo-doo-doo. I'm sorry to tell you that this call has been temporarily disconnected, no longer in service. And then this is a recording. Have you ever felt that way? I can certainly say I have. I felt that way many times in my life, but David felt that way, that David is weighed down by some kind of burden. I don't know what your burden is today, but God knows. But the text lets us know that David is inflicted by some enemy or some enemies. We don't know who these enemies are. David had a bunch of enemies. Newsflash. If you're God's child, if you name the name of Jesus, at some point you're going to have some enemies in your life. If you stand for Jesus, there's some folk that simply won't like you because you stand for Jesus. If you stand for God, the enemy does not like it. He will attack you. He will try to take you down and try to take you out. But life comes with enough burdens, y'all, and we don't need other folk to add to our burdens and our troubles and our weights and our pains. That we don't need added adversity. You know, there's this old song that we used to sing, I'm going to lay down my burdens down by the riverside. But what happens when you go down to the riverside and you're ambushed by your enemies and by your problems and by your struggles, that you can't find peace? You can't find peace anywhere. David felt alone, like God was hiding from him. Somebody feels that way today. You feel like God is hiding from you. But make no mistake about it, God is always there. That he's not the God of hide and go seek. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with your whole heart. Ask yourself this morning, are you seeking God? Are you seeking him? That's all right, baby. I feel like that sometimes too. Yeah. That he felt like he was alone. That David felt like he had no other resources than his own. And the problem with that situation, his resources were not enough. Have you ever been there? Your strength is not enough. Your wisdom is not enough. Your bank account is not enough. Your problem solving skill is not enough. And you find yourself going around in circles and circles in your head, and all you come up with is empty. David felt like he had no advisor and no advocate in his life but himself. And David realized he was not smart enough. He did not have enough wisdom. He did not have enough knowledge to help him with his situation. So David cried out, God, how long? And David has what I call, again, it's honest discontent. I wouldn't say that David is complaining. David is just really explaining. That he's saying how he really feels about his situation, and he's asking God, how long? Have you ever been in a situation where you're dealing with something in your life and you go to somebody, you go to a confidant, you go to a friend, and you just want to tell them what's going on? But you get what I call what's known as the writing reflex. Did you get some holier than thou people that they're trying to? You have no right to feel that way. That's, you know, God is good. Let me give you three scriptures, and you go home and you think about that. And you leave the situation feel more disappointed. Have you ever had people in your life that they one-up you. You try to tell them what's going on with you. You're not talking about their situation. You just want to talk about your situation. And they, oh, you think that's something. Let me tell you what's going on with me, child. Let me. But here's what I love about God. That in Scripture we see the character and the nature of God. And you never find in Scripture, as you look at the character and the nature of God, that God ever turning anyone away that came to him in honest discontent. He said, God, this is how I feel, God. This is what's going on, God. Can I pour out my heart to you that God will never shame you. God will never judge you. God will never guilt you, but God will be there for you and for me. So bring your honest discontent to God Almighty. Tell Jesus what you need. He honors and he hears your honest discontent. Notice next real quickly. David transitions his song into a melody of deep desire. Look at verses 3 and 4. Let me read them slowly. Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. That David's deep desire, that it prompts him to a deeper prayer. Yeah, there are prayers that we pray to God. Yeah, God, if now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die. But there's some things in your life that will come your way that will really cause you to pray. And to tell God what you really need. To cut to the chase and God bless this and that. No, God, here I am, and God, here's what I really need in my life. That David calls on God to the task of hearing his plea and his deep desire for help. And so it is with us. I believe this, that it's not the good days that will really drive us to God. It's the bad days. That it's not the mountaintop experiences, the experience of glory that drive us to God. It's the valley experiences that really drive us to God. And to tell God what our really deep desire, our deep need is for him and what he can provide for us. It was David that said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. It's in the valley where we really sense and know God's presence. And so I think sometimes it's necessary that we go through storms, that we go through valley experiences in our lives, because that's the time that we really sense and know that God is present, that God is really with us. It's in the valley, it's in the storm. And in his deep desire, David has two simple requests. David says, restore sparkle in my eyes or I will die. How many of y'all know that when it comes to death, there's more than physical death?
Yes, sir.
There's emotional pain that causes emotional death and spiritual death, and we feel like we're separated from God. He said, listen, I need you to restore the sparkle that's in my eye. God, I need the light again, because right now I'm walking in darkness, and God, I can see no light. I found out something, that when we're really in deep despair, y'all, that oftentimes that's when we are emotionally unstable. You know, that our heads just aren't right. Sometimes when we're really going through something and we feel deep pain and we feel like God is not there, our minds are just not, they're just not right. And so what we need then is the light of God to shine on us. We need a spirit to shine on the inside of us, to enlighten our hearts and our minds so that we can see him. And right now, somebody here today, listen, maybe you're going through a traumatic experience in your life, and it's dark. And your prayer ought to be, God, light my heart, enlighten my heart so I can see you, oh God. And as long as I can see you, oh God, you'll show me the right way. You'll show me the clear way, oh God, because right now I'm not seeing so clearly. He says, restore the sparkle that's in my eyes. Elsewhere, David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Right now, you may be experiencing a joyless salvation in your life right now because of what you're going through. God wants to restore that joy to you and to me. God wants to open your eyes so that you can see him Open your eyes so that you can see his word. That his word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
David also, his request is, he wants victory over his enemies. Y'all, maybe I'm by myself. But when it seems like the enemy has the upper hand, when he tries to put his knee on my neck and keep me down, there's Holy Ghost power that rises on the inside of me to say, I'm not giving him that satisfaction. You're not going to gloat over me. You're not going to stand and laugh. Or I will stand up with the courage of God on the inside of me and stand up. You're not going to see me crying and stuff. I'm not staying down, but I will get up and I will stand up. I will stand up by God's power. Let's just face it. You know, we hate it when our team is losing. They didn't make the playoffs. But you got folk that'll remind you all the time that your team didn't make it. And so they gloat over you. They lord it over you. Yeah. But how much are the 49ers paying you? How many Gabardine's dollar backs are they giving you? How much is KC paying you? You gonna get some KC, some Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's about all you gonna. But we don't like it when people win over us and they gloat over us and we just don't like it by nature. And so when the enemy comes against you and it seems like he's got you down, you better stand up in God's power. Stand up with courage and say, no, you're not. You're not going to watch me crying and keep my head down. I'm going to stand up in the Lord. Restore the sparkle in my eyes and don't let my enemies have victory over me, oh God. And so David had a talk with God, a deep talk with God, deep prayer with God. He has a deep desire that he needs something from God. So he talks to God in prayer. It's interesting. We all have drive cars. We have this spare tire in our cars. At least you should have a spare tire. But how many of us really think about a spare tire? We don't think about that spare tire until we're in a jam. Until we actually need it. And some of y'all right now, you don't have a spare tire in your car anywhere. You got to call AAA or somebody. But we don't really think about that spare tire, do we? Until we really need it. When it comes to prayer, we treat prayer the same way. Some of us, we treat it's just a spare tire. That it's just something that we need that when we are in a jam. But listen, prayer ought to be an essential part of your everyday life. Not just when you feel like you're in a jam, but we need God each and every day. So each and every day we can tell God our deepest longings and our deepest desires. David transitions his song into a melody of deep desire that he tells God what he really needs. And finally, David does this. David finishes his song in the perfect pitch of praise. I love this. Again, it's a song of transition. Finally, David said, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. David said, but I trust. Past tense, I trusted. Present tense, I trust. Future tense, I will trust. It's perfect tense. But I trust in your unfailing love or your mercy. The word in Hebrew is hesed. It's the unfailing mercy and love of God. It's what God showed to Moses when Moses said, God, I want to see you. God showed him his hesed. He showed him his mercy that endures until all generations. But I will trust in your unfailing love. I'll trust in your mercy. I don't need your judgment, oh God, in this moment. I need your mercy, oh God.
Yeah, yeah.
David said, I sing to the Lord because he is good to me. We don't know exactly how long David would go through what David went through. We don't really know everything that he was going through. But two things we know, that he trusted in God's unfailing love. That he trusted in his mercy, and he sings to the Lord that God is good. Listen, believers, we need to know this today. That no matter what we go through or deal with in our life, two things we ought to do. We ought to trust God. Yeah. Trust in his mercy and know that God is good. I love to see believers, and I don't love to see you going through, but when you're going through, I love to see the fact that you keep your head up. Yeah. And the one thing you keep believing in is that God is still good. I look around this room, some of you had losses in your life, but God is still good. Listen, your bank account is not full, but God is still good. Things aren't going the way you, but God is still good. How many know that God is still good? Regardless of what I'm going through, God is still good. Regardless of what I may go, God is still good. And so what David did, no, it ignited a praise in his spirit and in his heart. David recalls the sum total of his history with God, and we have to do the same thing. Stop, take a minute, and recall the sum total of your history with God. I think David probably thought about when lions and bears came up against him, but he defeated them. I think David probably thought about when this giant by the name of Goliath came up against him, and with the power of God, he defeated him with just a slingshot and a rock. David was probably thinking about when Saul came up against him to kill him, Saul whom he loved, but God saw him out. Maybe he's thinking about the time when the Philistines were, when he came up to the Philistines and they tried to destroy him, but God bought him out. He feigned as if he were crazy. He slobbed and all that, and they thought he was crazy. Maybe he was thinking about that. What am I saying to you? Stop and take a moment. Think about your sum total, the sum total of your history with God. What have you been through that God has not bought you out? And can we give him praise on that? What have you been through that God has not bought you out? That God has not seen you through? That God has won some battles for you, and for every battle he's won for you and for me. And we owe him praise that God did it. If he did it before, he can do it again. Same God back then, same God right now. God can do it right now and today. He's God. So let the memory of your past speak to your present. David finishes his song in the perfect pitch of praise. And David praises God based on two facts. Again, that God rescued him. That's God's ability to save. How many of you know that God is in the saving business today? Ah, look at somebody like me. I can tell you God is in the saving business. God is in the delivering business. God is in the keeping business today, y'all. God is a savior. And I thank God for saving me through his son, Jesus Christ, that God rescued him. And God continued to rescue him. Now, David's in a situation. He's really speaking prophetically that God would rescue him. What he was going through in that moment, God would still rescue him. And this, he sings of God's goodness. And we talked about that. Continuously sing of God's goodness. God's chorus of salvation and goodness rises above our blues and our sadness. David saw the bigger picture, y'all. And the bigger picture for David and for us is God Almighty. David said elsewhere, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. All of our help cometh from the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. Y'all, we have to learn how to look beyond the hills and the mountains. Where there's tragedy and pain and hurt, look beyond the mountains and see God. Focus on God, that God is the bigger picture in your life, that he's bigger than your circumstances. He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your pain. He's bigger than your tragedy. He's bigger than all of that, and he's stronger. So David begins as if God had abandoned him, that God had placed him on hold. David thought in the sense that God was not there. And we know how David feels because we've been there. But by the end of the psalm, by the end of the psalm, we see this amazing breakout in praise as if the sun had come out in David's life. And so the thought for us, no matter how bad your circumstances might be, we always have a reason to give thanks to God. Even when it seems like God has placed you on hold, even when it seems like God has forgotten about you, God will not forget. God will not forget about you. God is not forgotten. God is not forgotten. God is not forgotten. God is not forgotten. God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten. God will not forget. So just relax. Put a praise song in your heart and in your mouth and watch what God does when God chooses to do it. I waited in discontent for this customer service representative to come on the phone to help me with my deep desire, because I needed to keep my medical insurance, y'all. I had to talk to this representative, and I'm on hold, y'all, and all I hear is the music playing. 50 minutes, an hour later, I'm watching the time tick on my phone. I'm over an hour. Again, I'm hot and I'm mad, y'all. And at one point, I walked through the room where my wife was. She was in, and I'm just telling you, I'm waiting for these folk. I'm waiting. Baby, you need to wait. You need to wait. Have some patience. Have some patience. And so I thank my God for wisdom and for my wife for wisdom. And so y'all, I take my phone, y'all, and I got it on the speakerphone thing, y'all. I set the phone down. And I decided, well, listen, since I'm going to be on wait, I might as well be productive. And so I continue to do the work that I had to do for today. I'm saying something to you right now. Listen, while you're waiting on God to move for you, be productive. Can you just be productive? Can you keep, I know you're waiting on God, but be productive. Do something for the kingdom. Do what God called you to do. Be productive. And so I waited, y'all. I waited. And all of a sudden, y'all, listen, they hadn't come on the line yet, but that music kept on playing. It's just playing in the background, and I'm doing my work, y'all, and somehow I guess the music got down on the inside of me, y'all. It was like smooth jazz or something like that, huh? I'm this kind of person, y'all. Listen, this is just me. Listen, I will make up words to a song in a heartbeat. Some of y'all know where my folk at. Y'all will just make up words to a song. You got some music, we'll just make up some song. Yeah. And so I'm sitting there, y'all, and I'm just doing, I don't know what I was saying, y'all. Some minute they going to come on this line and they going to help me with my problem. They going to help me with my problem. The music just playing. It's bumping, y'all. And I'm working and I'm working. And all of a sudden, the customer service representative, she comes on the line and scares me. Y'all, I didn't forget that I was online. Wait, I'm just listening to the music, y'all, doing what I'm called to in that moment, being productive. And she scares me. But she helps me with my problem. But I can't forget the fact of what helped me to make it through that situation. That I focused on the music. That it kept playing in the background. And what I'm saying to you today, that you may feel like you're on hold right now, but baby, you need to get a song in your heart. You need to get a song in the recesses, in the background of your mind, and let it play, and let it play, and let it play, and let it play until you like this in your song. That God is on your side. You need to get your own song. Have you ever noticed that the Psalms end at Psalm 150 and that's it? That there is no Psalm 151. But can I encourage you this morning? You get your own Psalm 151. You get a song in your heart. You get a praise on your lips. You get a song in your, you make up your own Psalm 151 about what God has done for you. And watch God bring you out. Watch God bring you through. That God can bring you a song from anxiety to adoration. From being in the blues to blessings. From complaining to celebration. From being down to being delighted. From being fearful to being filled with faith in God. Let God give you a song deep down on the inside of your heart right now. And watch God transition you from a how long to a hallelujah, to a praise to God. God, it doesn't even matter how long, just hallelujah, God. Hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah in the struggle. Hallelujah while I'm on hold. Hallelujah while I'm waiting, oh God. Hallelujah, I'm trusting, oh God. Hallelujah, I'm obeying, oh God. Hallelujah, I'm productive, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Praise your name. Bless your name, oh God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. So yeah, we have two things we can do as we're waiting on God. The first thing we can do is we can get angry. We can get upset. We can start talking to God all sideways. God, I've been in this too long. I don't like where I am right now, God. We can get mad and try to handle things our own way and mess it up. We can act like God doesn't exist, like some people do, get so mad that they put God down. Blame God. Or we can do something else. We can trust God and we can praise Him. Because we never know what God may be trying to teach us when He places us on hold. That God will place you on hold sometimes because he's trying to teach you something. He's trying to teach you and me how to trust Him, how to obey Him, how to walk with Him. Even though we are on hold, even though we're going through a painful place and experience in our life, God wants us to trust Him. And we could not learn that otherwise. There's some lessons that you will not learn as long as you're on the mountaintop.
Right, right.
Some lessons you have to learn in the valley. Some lessons you have to learn in the storm. And so God wants you and me to take every one of our questions, every one of our how longs, and transition and shift to a hallelujah. To God be the glory. Amen. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, oh God. In spite of hallelujah, God, we praise you. God, we thank you for this word today. God, thank you for your unfailing love. Thank you, oh God, for your love and your compassion towards us. Thank you for your ever presence in our lives, oh God. In the worst moments of our lives, you are there. Help us not to forget that, oh God. God, I pray for the hearts of your people, whatever they may be going through, that they would hang on to their hallelujah. God, in your word, Jesus, you said in that day you will have no more questions. Help us to walk so closely with you that the questions are minimized and all we do is walk with you and trust you and obey you and hold on to your unchanging hand. God, we pray right now for those that may be going through difficult situations. God, it seems like they can't get an answer. They have yet to receive an answer. May they receive this answer today that you are with them. You promised you would never leave them nor would you forsake them. And God, we'll trust you. Every step of the way, oh God, like David did, let our songs of sadness end in songs of celebration. And we celebrate you today. We celebrate you in this moment. We give a hallelujah and a praise to you in this very moment, in spite of what we're going through. You're greater than our circumstances. You're greater than our problems. You're greater than our tragedy. You're greater than our past, oh God. You're greater than our pain. You're greater than our anguish. You're greater than our anxiety. You're greater than our despair. You're greater than our disappointment, oh God. You're stronger and you're mightier. And God, we trust you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. God, for that person that's under the sound of my voice that may not know you and depart from their sins, draw them by your Spirit. For those that know you but are not connected to a local assembly somewhere, draw them by your power, draw them by your Spirit, oh God. Do what only you can do, Holy Spirit, in this moment. Do what we cannot do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That God wants to save you today. Save you from what? Save you from sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None are righteous, no, not one. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son into the world
to die for the sins of the world. This is the essence of the gospel message. The gospel is not about how much money you can get in your pocket. The gospel is not about where you live. The gospel is not about just about some therapy or how you can feel better. The gospel is about the fact that God sent his son into the world to die for you and for me. And it's this gospel that we offer to you today. If you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite you to have that relationship today. If you have a saving relationship but you're not connected to a local church somewhere, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church your church of choice, or we say your church home, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. And so our ushers are standing in the aisle at this very moment. If you're here this morning and it's your heart's desire to connect with Living Faith Community Church, if you follow them out to room number one, we have new member ministry advisors that are there. They will gather some information from you. We will welcome you with open arms. If you tuned in to our online broadcast today and you're wondering, how can I be a part of this congregation, or you have questions about the gospel, you have questions about Jesus Christ, we have people that can answer those questions. There is an online form that you can fill out in this very moment. Click on that link. I promise you one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you on this coming week. They'll welcome you with open arms. They'll answer any questions that you might have. That this is what this worship experience is really all about you being in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.